Yeah.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you for the fun.
Welcome, welcome.
Yes, sir.
I explained to Mr. Thurston that Mother's Day is next Sunday also.
We have a never ending Mother's Day.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy cooking them all.
Well, that was so sweet. You cleaned it up, too, didn't you?
Yeah. Last week, we stopped at Acts chapter 5 and 15. And we see a pattern of how the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us in life. And you'll see an order and a pattern to what he does. He builds on foundation. We left last week talking about how he built on a foundation. We started chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira dying. And their death, the Lord used their death to set order in the church. The fear of the Lord came back. You can't be wise without the fear of the Lord. You have to, one scripture says, walk circumspectly. And that's like looking as a spectator in the center of something, but looking at it from the inside to the outside as a spectator would a game. You can see the whole thing. When we understand God's position, then it's very important that we obey him. And we look at what we're going through, our situation, our position, then we have to observe God's position. And God can't give us a free pass. In other words, whatever we sow, we got to reap it. And he builds on foundation so that it won't fall. And we see how in verse...
He builds on foundation so it won't fall. That's good.
Right. The Lord our God, he never does anything that's designed to fail. Even Lucifer was designed to succeed. He chose another course on his own free will. But everything that God does is foundational and it's designed to stand. But people can get off track. You know, just like Stephen misspoke. He didn't mean to misspeak.
That's true.
I've listened to some of the recordings and I misapplied scriptures or misapplied something. I said, oh man, I didn't get out there enough. By the time I find out about it, it might be on the radio. Sometimes I go back and rehearse it or explain it, you know, but things like that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much to remember. The Holy Spirit is working with us, and he has to use us, and we're not perfect. But we can still do a perfect work, like Stephen
did. Yes,
we
can, praise the Lord.
You know, the words of Stephen, they were the pricks that Saul was kicking against.
That's right.
That was the charge of God's word. And it was trying to renew his mind, but he kept fighting against it till he got knocked off his horse. And we don't find out he got knocked off his horse till he was in the courtroom talking about it. But when it was three accounts, and you have to superimpose them, because some of the things he heard and the men didn't hear, then some things the man saw and that he didn't see, and some parts of the discourse they heard. But and you have to look at the whole thing. And it was done so that they would be obedient and take Paul to Ananias. They heard enough of the miracle, of the vision, to obey the words of Jesus. But they didn't know that it was Jesus.
I wonder if they got saved.
Possibly. Over time. But remember, Paul wasn't a popular guy. The Christians didn't trust him, and the Pharisees wanted to kill him. And the Jews, they heard both. They didn't nobody like him. He had to go somewhere else. He went to the deserts of Arabia, and the Holy Spirit trained him and sent him back, and then sent him out. Well, the Holy Spirit is foundational, and he does things with an order. In verse 15, we see, verse 15 and 16, we see a great revival happening. Verse 15 says, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Wow. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Now, this, so the people that got saved, they were going to definitely go to the temple and go to the church where they were meeting. And when they got there, order was set. Nobody wanted to be do like Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody had their mind right. And since the foundation had its mind right, the people that were there first, when the newcomers came, they watched them, and they got their mind right. And that's how it works. Some revivals are held back by God because people won't grow. And when the Lord was teaching me about setting up a church, he has to build on the foundation, the person with the vision, usually the pastor. And then that pastor has to have a core group of people that would follow God as well. Now, he taught me this back in 94. I said, "Lord, do you want me to pastor?" He said, "No." He said, but he was teaching me how it works. When people get saved, they get saved where they are and how they are. They think no different than they did the day before they got saved. Mm-hmm. The only difference is their spirit is made brand new and they want to love God.
Yeah.
So all they need is a pattern. And they'll be trained and they'll learn to honor God by the core group. And it don't take a lot of people. It takes people of solid character for God to build on. And when there's enough to host a revival, God will start one. And that's when you're praying and reaching out to the Lord, you know, he'll show you what to change. At any point, when the change happens and when people are strong enough, God's going to use them like a tool in his hand. Mm-hmm. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to, some churches try to do things to attract people, and you don't have to do all. You have to follow him, and it works. And the Lord will show you how to do the strategic things to do, and you have to make it come to pass by your faith. Your faith is always required. Now, the anointing, you have God's ability in that area. But you have to study so that you'll have faith to cooperate with it. Samson couldn't go and get a haircut and drink grape juice. With the anointing, there are things that you're going to have to do and learn to do by your faith. So that it'll, because it's designed to multiply you and multiply others. The anointing is a sanction that God gives to a man or woman, in other words, an adult Christian, to do what they should do, to begin and finish a specific task. Some people are anointed to prosper. They can prosper so easy because they are anointed to prosper. Some people are anointed to heal. Some people are anointed to heal specific diseases. Some work in combination with word of knowledge, like Pastor McCann. Whatever you're anointed to do, you got to understand that anointing and use it. Mm-hmm. Use it often so that it'll multiply. In other words, if God wants you to be somewhere, be there and do what he say do. Amen. And it will multiply. But for your own life, you have to live by your faith. And people have to be trained in these things. Some people try to run the whole ministry off the anointing. Faith is required too. So if they don't live by their faith in that area, they fail in some ways. And the people that's watching them do what they do. Out of all the churches that the Lord sent me to, one thing that always happened, whatever the pastor was doing, the people did. Whatever God revealed, they did what they saw the pastor do. That's just the way it was. That's the way it very few people will live or rise higher. But they're the ones that's looking under Jesus. And as we look under Jesus, we change. The Holy Spirit is going to guide us as we draw near. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Now this miracle was done because of the people. More, it didn't say that they believed God for the angel. Men interfered. Satan was trying to interfere with the move of God. And the Lord saw, it looks like he sovereignly appointed those angels to open the doors so they can go and finish their mission.
Praise the Lord.
But Jesus said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, in my ministry and in everything I'm involved with, I don't take victory for granted. When there's a move going and I notice it, I use my faith and start protecting it. And I ask the Lord to help me do all that's in his heart. I tell Satan, you can't interfere with this move. Any Christian can do it.
Amen.
When most of the time when pastor's giving an altar call, I'm praying with him and rebuking Satan because he's trying to stop people from going forward, hindering spirits.
That's good.
When if God give me an assignment and something specific he want me to do, I learned that from Kenneth Copeland. There was a guy, he had the prophet's anointing, and he said, you got information in your house. And I went, and I had all those magazines that he sent you, and we opened one up. And in it, the Lord was telling Kenneth Copeland that Al Capone, it wouldn't have taken an army to get Al Capone out of Chicago if they dealt with him while he was small. And the Lord told Kenneth Copeland, he said, when you know you got to preach somewhere, don't wait till the day you're going to minister. Rebuke the enemy ahead of time.
Good.
Take the offensive position. You offend him. You make the first blow. You shoot the first arrow. And if somebody invite me to minister somewhere, I start. I tell Satan you can't handle the process. I tell him what he can't do. And I believe God told us, and it works. And they didn't know to do this, even though Jesus said, but what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Sometimes people let things slip, and the apostles did it too. They were thrown in jail. They didn't have to be thrown in jail. All they had, whenever there's a move of God, it stirs the enemy, and he stirs people that don't know any better. So you have angels that help you, and you have authority here. Tell Satan, you can't use your puppets. And ask the Lord to give you wisdom. And the thing that give us power, even with authority, is our willingness to be subject to God. That's the backbone of your authority. If you're not subject to God, you're going to lose. Lord, I'm going to do this now. Help me receive all the insight I'm going to need. Help me not to fail you. Help me to do it. And I rebuke Satan. I'm not going to let him get in my way. And people that pray, get them to do the same thing. That way, you can preach with free course. And I preached at Twin Towers. It was a retirement home in North Birmingham in that season. Right after I read that, and a man invited me to, a minister invited me to come and preach. So I had about 3 or 4 weeks before I came. I just rebuked the enemy, and I was mad at him anyway. And when I got that, that was the easiest time I ever preached in those days. There was no interference. People were hungry for the word. It went over well because Satan couldn't come, and the Lord did. A move of God, the Lord watches to see how we respond to his words. When he give a word, he watches to see if people are going to make efforts to remember it, write it down, put it in their heart, and not let it slip. And when people take the mature role and don't let the word slip, and let it, and he take heed, then he can build on them. And your prayers already avail much. All of our prayers avail much. They mean a lot to God. Your word is a powerful force in heaven. Your prayers of faith,
glory to God,
and your words of faith, they mean a lot.
Yes,
that's like the headline news. Brother Horton said, what a man's soul reads. That's how it works. So the high priest was stirred. Your enemies are activated. But they'll be dormant when you take authority. Because Satan, without Satan, if you disconnect Satan from them, it's like unplugging a waffle iron from the wall. It'll cool down and just, you can't bake waffles on. Even terrorists, if you unplug Satan from them, then they'll go back to thinking like a human again.
Absolutely.
And some of them will get saved.
Absolutely right.
Spiritual warfare, you know, we have to learn spiritual warfare, how Satan thinks, how he operates. And it's easier to do spiritual warfare than to go through the trouble he's going to cause.
Paul was a terrorist.
Yeah.
Before he got saved.
Yeah.
He was a terrorist.
That's what he was. He was a Bin Laden.
Yeah, he was.
He thought just like him. Thought Jesus was accursed. And tried to put his people in jail.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "Why you persecute me?"
Yeah.
He said, "Who are you, Lord?" But he was deceived into it. That's why God could forgive him and save him. Some terrorists are malicious. They may know better and still be a terrorist. That, I believe those people like that are very few.
Yeah, they like it.
But most of them are indoctrinated and they think they're right.
Yeah. From a little boy up.
Yeah, they're taught that they're indoctrinated from a child. And it'll take a heavy anointing to break that yoke. And there are people here that can do it. But they won't go. And they won't go because they won't grow. But the anointing, they have the anointing. And they can do these things.
But the word of God is the power of salvation. It breaks anything.
Yeah.
Not the word of Mohammed, it's the word. So even though they're indoctrinated from birth, the word of God is the power.
Yeah, they've been taught dead words. With
so
dead mean.
That's what the word will go through.
That's why they're so angry.
Yeah, it'll break it just as easy as throwing an egg on the floor. All false teaching and error, those are words that's not, there's no anointing on it. A misinterpretation, there's no anointing on it. A misunderstanding spoken by men, there's no anointing. But there's nothing on the face of this earth that can trump the anointing.
Amen.
When you speak the word of God in faith, there's nothing that can stop it. I mean, it's more powerful than any train. It can move mountains, literally. Jesus was being literal when he said, "You speak to this mountain in faith."
Yes, he was.
It's got to go.
Yes.
That's why I love the scripture, the anointing destroys yokes. I don't know, every time I hear that, it just made me think anything that is just a yoke, you know, the anointing destroys yokes.
Have you ever seen a yoke?
That's true.
A yoke is a big old 12 by 12 piece of wood. And they cut the necks out of it, and they put two ox together to pull a heavier load.
Oh yeah.
And they bolt them to his neck, and he pushes it with the front of his shoulders, and they can't go where they want to go; they have to go forward. Well, when you have Satan's yoke, you know it's designed to hold you back from doing what God wants you to do. It's bondage. But the anointing releases us. He says, verse 18, "And laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple of the people all the words of this life." We're going to have to stop here. I just saw it. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to do all that's in your heart.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
With power.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.